with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I am 1 minute past the hour, the 21st day of July 2014. Wow, more and Monday is upon us at the horn. No getting around it. Oh, we got more ends. We got more ends with more ends. We have, as Faith noted earlier today, our first entire state-based more end, which is pretty interesting in and of itself. But that ain't all. No, we got a lot of more ends because it's more end Monday. Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go to get into the chat room. It's also where you go to access the pop-up live stream player for folks who are listening on PCs. If you're listening on an iDevice, tablet this, or whatever, you might want an app, and we recommend the app from TuneIn Radio and Stitcher Internet Radio. They both work equally well, as long as one understands that any odious advertisements that one sees for things that you know that the Horn would never support, well, those ads are not sold by us nor for us, and they do not in any wise benefit the Horn. No, they certainly do not. No, the Horn survives, as many of you well know, on your determination that the Horn will survive. And so it is that we try to raise a certain amount of money every evening so as to keep the Horn alive. And to keep the lights going and the streams streaming and the packets passing and all of those things. And with that in mind, thanks are due. You know, we ended the week in a hole. It wasn't a deep hole, but it was enough to provide a pain in the butt. And I wanted to first and foremost thank everyone who helped us get out of that hole. Thank you to Don, and thank you very much to Alexandra, and thank you to Patricia, one and all. Directions, Alexandra, thank you for making it possible for this to continue onward. And Patricia, well, where'd the stream go? Hopefully it'll be back in a minute. This is frustrating. Stand by, please. Now, where were we an hour ago? First of all, big thanks go out to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, who hurried back to where he could do something and rebooted the Horn stream servers. What happened in the intervening hour, for those who are listening or attempting to listen live, is that the stream servers crashed. But they are now rebooted, and we are happy, happy, happy. That being the case, let's try to pick up where we left off. And that is what I was saying at the beginning of the program. I was thanking Don and Alexandra and Patricia for getting us out of the hole and that we finished in on Friday. And Patricia said, it seems liberal voices are our only political donations these days. It's so much more helpful than giving to candidates, as my money will only buy them lunch. Patricia and Paul, thank you, Patricia and Paul, very, very kindly. So that leads me to picking up where I left off. This is the 21st of July, and the 20th rolled around on the weekend, and it rolled around on the weekend in Australia even before it rolled around here. So that means that it is time, yes indeedy, for Robert's Up Over, Down Under 20th of the Month Australia Challenge. And it is on the table this evening. What I was saying earlier, we've got bills that have to be paid this week, or we kind of go away. By we, I mean the Horn. I don't mean, you know. It's just one of those little existential crises that happen inside independent broadcasting from time to time. I wish it were not so, but it is. So, Robert's Australia Challenge, Up Over, Down Under Australia Challenge, is on the table. Robert will match the first 50 that comes in any denomination. Robert says, I'm just back from my second session of root canal therapy. Unfortunately, dental and optical aren't covered under our Medicare system. One or two more sessions to go. Ouch. Anyway, time for my regular 21st of the month Up Over, Down Under Challenge. So to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the first moon landing, I'm putting my usual $50 on the table, asking for as many people who would like to match it. And then this. Also, for everyone who's listening, donate a buck, $1. Bob knows how many people that is, and it would probably solve a lot of problems for the Horn rather quickly. Especially if everyone did it for a week. So that's good thinking indeed. So there we go. Most of the Horn family may have turned away or gone to listen to something else by now. So this may only be heard on podcast or after Malloy or whatever. But I mean that's where it stands. Tim from L.A. has a Horn fundraising Twitter bomb going on. Thank you very much, Tim. Hopefully we can do this, because as Robert and some others had noted, I had announced that I was going to be away tonight and tomorrow and Thursday. Well, now it just looks like probably Thursday and Friday. Family stuff. Nothing critical, actually. It should be pleasant, but family stuff. So I'll be away from the microphone on Thursday and Friday. Let's see. And forgive me. Things like you know, server crashes sort of take you out of your zone. I'll try to crawl back into it in a moment. And get things going again and get into the swing of things. It's a mite toasty here in the Horn Studio sauna, Janie. Or as Devin likes to refer to it, the Horn Solar Furnace. You know, I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder if the compressor, or not the compressor, I wonder if the refrigerant's dead in the air conditioner. This seems a little weird. Why not? You know, why not? But no. Even though we got a bit of a late start, well, that doesn't change matters much. I mean, the day is what the day is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
That's right, that's right, that's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. You will see behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas Morans, which will amaze you, stupefy you, nauseate you, and send you reeling in amazement from the moranity that inhabits the right wing in the United States of America and other parts of the country with primary focus on the United States of America. Yes, indeed, for less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you too can peer behind this thin cybernetic veil and see Bircher Morans, Booger Eater Morans, Deather Morans, Tenther Morans, Libertarian Morans. Oh, Morans of all kinds are right here at Moran Monday on the Horn. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I know where I want to start. It just leaped out at me this morning. Some polling data out. There's an outfit out there, and they are said to be a Democratic Party-oriented, called Public Policy Polling. I'm sure you have, I'm sure you're familiar with them. Public Policy Polling. Asked some questions down in Louisianistan. Hi, Jack. Hi, Jim. Hi, Danny. Yeah. Because you never take the moranity of the right wing for granted. Sometimes you just want some empirical proof. And so it was at the behest of TPM, Public Policy Polling queried some repiglickens down in Louisianistan about, among other things, the mistakes that were made after Hurricane Katrina. You remember Hurricane Katrina, right? Yeah, that was 2005, wasn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is just astonishing. Having been asked, and these questions were asked of Louisiana repiglickens, you know, birthers, deathers, tenthers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, what have you, right-wing Louisiana Stanies. And they asked specifically, who bore the greatest responsibility for the failures that attended the federal government response after Katrina? Now, to be fair, 28% of the respondents said they think that said they thought that was pretty much on President George W. Bush. You remember, dim leader? Yeah, okay. On the other hand, by a single percentage point, well, 29% of Louisiana Stannies, Louisiana Stanny Republicans, said they were pretty sure it was that one in their White House's fault. No, really. They said it was Barack Hussein Obama's fault that the levees were not up to the task of protecting against a flood. Yeah. Thank you, Devin. Thank you indeed. I never think of Katrina and all of its attendant horrors that I don't sooner or later think my way over to Dim Leader's book about his experience president, in which he said the saddest day of his entire presidency was, no, not 9/11, not seeing people flying, leaping out of a burning office tower in New York, no, not seeing the dead carried out of the rubble at the Pentagon, or at least hearing about it, because, well, Dim Leader was busy that day now, wasn't he? I think he was reading to school children from an upside-down book. Wasn't that it? Yeah. My Pet Goat. Pet Goat? I forget the title. Anyway. No. Out of all the horrors that transpired during the 8 long and tormented years in which Dim Leader was the President of the United States, he said, that the saddest day was when Kanye West said that he didn't like black people. Yeah. No kidding. But anyway, it happened during the Bush presidency. That Bush presidency. And yet, if you are a Repiglican in Louisiana, Stan, there is a 29% chance that you think Barack Obama was responsible for the federal government's failure in the aftermath of Katrina. 29%. And I'm not sure if this is better or worse, but it's darn sure interesting. So 28% think it was Bush's fault. 29% think it was Obama's. And this is a real Lulu. 44% say, well, I ain't really sure. Was it Barack Obama? Was it George Bush? Or not sure? I think we can probably include Barack Obama in that 44% because he is, after all, president not sure. Oh, yeah. This was a watershed day, as Faith noted on my Facebook page, noting that this was, and I think it is, the first time an entire state has been nominated or a significant portion of the population of an entire state has been nominated as a Moran Monday recipient. And remember, it's kind of like a reverse of the Oscars. You know, winning the Oscar is not the big deal. They always say that being nominated for an Academy Award is the big deal. And so, yes, we never declare an outright winner on Moran Monday. It's just a matter of being nominated. And can you blame them, as Devin recalls, can you blame the Repiglicans in Louisiana Stan for hating Barack Hussein Obama? Because after all, as we all know, he is the Antichrist. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Ooh, lots more. Lots more. I found this kind of funny. And I don't often share this sort of thing. But, well, this is one of those that kind of says, how can you not? This, okay, hold on. It's going to take a second to find this. I mean, this is funny on the one hand. It reminds me, there was one of these... there was one of these several years ago, back when Windows Vista first came out, and the person on the street, person on the street interviews were conducted, and people were shown identical operating systems. Well, I think it was the Jimmy Kimmel Show. I'm having a hard time finding it. But they went out on the street and asked people which they preferred, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. And it was hilarious to see the number of people who said, oh, definitely the Affordable Care Act. I mean, that Obamacare is compulsory. It is a moron nation. Is it not? But nothing really can compare with the Sunday column of that proud son of Down Under, Ken Ham. Sorry, Robert. Angry. John, Gail, all y'all down there, or up there. It's all a matter of perspective, really. I'm blaming y'all for Ken Ham. I mean, he may be in Kentucky, Stan, but this one's on y'all. Don't get me wrong, I understand why you let him get away. You don't want him there. Now, the question is, do I do my cheesy Australian accent for this? And because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Nah, I guess we'll leave it alone. There you go, Devin. Devin's in rare form tonight. Can that ham! I think I recall... I read somewhere once upon a time that David Letterman was fired from one of his early jobs. He was a weatherman in Indianapolis, and he announced that hail was falling the size of canned hams. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, this ham is uncanned. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. He's upset. Ken Ham is, with the space program. No, really. This is, as Robert noted, the anniversary of the moon landing. And in point of fact, Reuters reported on Sunday, the 20th of July, 45 years after humankind first set foot on the moon, Reuters reported that there is still a division of opinion as to whether or not manned or personed spaceflight is worth the risk and the cost. Reuters reporting the most recent effort to return astronauts to the moon ended in 2010 when the Obama White House axed an underfunded program of the previous administration called Constellation. Instead, NASA was directed to begin planning for a human expedition to an asteroid. Because, I mean, the moon, you know, been there, done that. Among other things, the argument being that, and this is a quote from a report from the Committee on Human Spaceflight, the moon, and in particular its surface, has significant advantages over other targets as an intermediate step on the road to the horizon goal of Mars. Although some have dismissed the moon as no longer interesting because humans have visited it before, been there, done that, this is similar to considering the New World to have been adequately explored after the first four voyages of Columbus. Note to the Committee on Human Spaceflight. Please do not compare the exploration of space with the voyages of Columbus, which opened a nightmare of genocide. Pretty please. On the other hand, Reuters says NASA considers the moon the purview of other nations' space programs and not of interest to the U.S. Human Space Exploration Program. Oh, well. I was born with, well, almost contemporaneously with the space program. And as such, I've got a soft spot for it. Ken Ham does not have that soft spot. Celebrating, or condemning, I guess, the 45th anniversary of the space program, and this is Moran Monday, need I remind you? Ken Ham said, I'm shocked at the countless hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent over the years in the desperate and fruitless search for extraterrestrial life. Even Bill Nye, the science guy, in our recent debate, happily gloated about tax dollars being spent toward this effort, and now secular scientists are at it again. Is there any, just editorially, is there any other kind? Because see, if you're a religious scientist, putting the word religious in front of scientist pretty much undoes the idea of scientist, doesn't it? In a big way. Because you're not a scientist anymore, you're a religionist. That's like, Christian atheist. You see what I mean? Sure. And so, consequently, well, anyway, the secular scientists are at it again, out there being secularly scientific. Of course, Ham continues, secularists are desperate to find life in outer space, as they believe that would provide evidence that life can evolve in different locations and given the supposed right conditions. The search for extraterrestrial life is really driven by man's rebellion against God in a desperate attempt to supposedly prove evolution. Well, I'll be damned, and I thought it was to go where no person had gone before and visit strange new worlds and new civilizations. You know this thing, yeah. Kind of goes back to what Brother Albert said a couple of weeks ago. Do we want to live in Star Trek world or Mad Max world? The choice is fairly clear. A UK news site recently reported, aliens are out there. We'll find a new Earth within 20 years. Recent technologies have developed new space telescopes that will be used to study exoplanets, planets orbiting other stars, with the hope of discovering habitable Earth-like worlds that might contain life. At least that's what they hope for, says Ken Ham. You see, he explains, according to the secular evolutionary worldview, I love it when a religious maniac says what the secularists think. building that straw man up and then just beating him to pieces. According to the secular evolutionary worldview, there must be other habited worlds out there. But wouldn't that be inhabited? As the head of NASA, Charles Borden, puts it, it's highly improbable in the limitless vastness of the universe that we humans stand alone. Secularists cannot allow Earth to be special or unique. That's a biblical idea. If life evolved here, it simply must have evolved elsewhere, they believe. And, of course, let's see, what is this? He kindly gives us the linky to Isaiah 45:18, which was written by someone who was baffled by wheelbarrows and didn't know why it rained. and had only a few hundred years before quit fighting with the jackals, buzzards over what the vultures over what the jackals didn't want. For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, and there is no other. A stunning degree of stupidity in Ken Ham. If life evolved here, it simply must have evolved elsewhere, they believe. No, they're not believing. Believing is what you do, Ken Ham. They are positing an educated estimate. Oh, quick heads up. It is pouring the rain here. And as a consequence, and this won't be the stream server crashing, this will be our crappy internet connection going down. If we should happen to disappear, you'll know why. Just saying. The Bible, in sharp contrast to the secular worldview, teaches that Earth was specially created, that it is unique and the focus of God's attention. More links. Life did not evolve, but was specially created. He never links to the part where Lot's daughters have incestuous sex with their daddy after getting him liquored up. I don't know why. Maybe that's just inconvenient. I mean, having the Bible and the Old Testament turn out to be kind of pornographic and all. Anyway. Life did not evolve, but was specially created by God, as Genesis clearly teaches. Genesis teaches nothing. Genesis is a recitation of an origin myth, but you know that. You know what's, nothing gets a fundy hotter than, you know, a moron, than if you say mythology and Bible in the same sentence. I'll never forget the one woman who, it is not! It's a historical fact! Oh, Margaret. Go get the big butterfly net. Now, the Bible doesn't say whether there is or is not animal or plant life in outer space. You know what? Maybe the Bible doesn't, but I'll say it. There is no animal or plant life in outer space. Outer space is a vacuum. I guess it's possible that something could be alive in a completely airless, gravity, more or less anaerobic environment. But it's highly unlikely, isn't it? I'll defer to the scientists. But why can't there be life on other planets? We know there are other planets. Doesn't that raise the likelihood of there being life there? Oh, this is the only... No. We're not done with the moron. Yeah. Christians certainly shouldn't expect alien life to be cropping up across the universe. There are other theological problems with intelligent alien life that you can read about. No, I'll pass, Ken. The Earth was created for human life. Huh. You know, F the chimpanzees. To heck with the lions. The giraffes can go giraffe themselves. It was created for humans to screw up as they please. You want to bet this guy's a dominionist? You're darn right this guy's a dominionist. He's got his little museum, in other words, the million-dollar carnival sideshow in Kentucky stand. You will never see Ken Ham objecting to the destruction of what he thinks as creation. Yep, dominionist. By God, we're showing dominion over the earth when we blow away those mountains and push the rubble over into the valleys and make low the high places and make flat the curvy places and poison the people who live there. In the name of Jesus. The Bible doesn't say whether there is or is not animal or plant life in outer space. I certainly suspect not. The earth was created for human life and the sun and moon were created for signs and our seasons, and to declare the glory of God. Okay. I get it, Devin. Yeah, those pictures that the deep space telescopes are taking. Yeah, Devin explains those are pictures of planets pasted to the great crystal sphere to test our faith. They were probably put there by the devil. Okay, now we're down to the fun part. Now we're down to the part where you might want to either get the tequila bottle and the swirly straw, or the duct tape and the hockey puck. Either one can be quite effective at quelling screaming. I do believe, says Ken Ham, Morin, there can't be other intelligent beings in outer space because of the meaning of the gospel. You see, the Bible makes it clear that Adam's sin affected the whole universe. God, that reverb comes in handy. It's not just there for Wolverines. Adam's sin affected the Wolverines too, by the way. The Bible makes it clear that Adam's sin affected the whole universe, the Bible having been written by people who don't know why it rains, who had no periodic table of the elements, who stood in awe of lightning and thought it was the slickety, terrifying finger of God reaching down to... Right. Bronze Age. You know, we refer to monotheism, dumb as it is, as a Bronze Age religion. Are we sure? Might it not be Stone Age? Or can we just give it its own little provenance and call it the Dumb Age? No, really, no, but put away the tequila bottle. Get the hockey puck. Get the duct tape. We'll take a couple of minutes. I'll vamp a little bit. Right, exactly. Well, of course, Adam's sin, Devin. Devin noting that's why lions are no longer vegans. Because they used to be. And Adam and Eve rode to church on the back of their dinosaur. Right? Yeah, everybody knows that.
And on the third day, God created the Remington bolt-action rifle so that man could fight the dinosaurs and the homosexuals. Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. That little clip comes in so handy. No. Okay. Did you get the duct tape out and the hockey puck? Are you secure? Are you safe? I want you to be safe. Okay. I'm gonna assume you are. The Bible makes it clear that Adam's sin affected the whole universe. Even though the people who told the Genesis myth time and time again until they finally figured out how to write and wrote it down had no idea what a universe was. You know, the sun rose in the east and set in the west, and it went to sleep, and it pulled its blanket over its head, and then the sun god got up in the west. But that wasn't, no, because there's only one God. The Bible makes it clear that Adam's sin affected the whole universe. I'm having a hard time getting past this sentence because I know what's coming next. Adam's sin affected the whole universe. This means that any aliens would also be affected by Adam's sin. But because they are not Adam's descendants, they can't have salvation. One day, the whole universe will be judged by fire, and there will be a new heavens and earth. God's Son stepped into history to be Jesus Christ, the God-man, to be our relative, and to be the perfect sacrifice for sin, the Savior of mankind. Okay, take the hockey puck out and drink. Put the hockey puck back. Jesus... Jesus did not become the God Klingon or the God Martian. Only descendants of Adam can be saved. God's Son remains the God-man as our Savior. In fact, the Bible makes it clear that we see the Father through the Son, and we see the Son through His Word. To suggest that aliens could respond to the gospel is just totally wrong. Totally, dude.
And He said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord. Stop! This man is clinically insane!
And that's my favorite part of that clip. Stop! This man is clinically insane! Ken Ham is clinically insane. Just plain crazy. Yeah. To suggest that aliens could respond to the gospel is just totally wrong. Okay, can we suggest that aliens would sit and laugh at us until they hurt themselves over this kind of mummery? Is that just wrong, too? Well, in Ken Ham's little world, it is. An understanding of the gospel makes it clear that salvation through Christ is only for the Adamic race, human beings who are all descendants of Adam. Oh, stop it. Yeah, really. You got that? No, this is real. Ken Ham has declared that all the aliens are going to hell. Mm-hmm. All the aliens are going to hell. Just like our server just did. Twice now. We're off the air again. Must be something nasty going on with the servers. Let me do update you, however, in regard to Robert's down 20th, 21st of the month, up over down under challenge. We're halfway there. Thank you very much to our longtime chat room moderator Lottie and to our stalwart supporter Sal. Thank you both very much. We're halfway there. Hopefully we can get the rest of the way and this nasty little $500 bill can be sorted out by Wednesday. Yep, more and Monday on the horn. Yeah, I guess you're right, Marty. Ken Ham probably doesn't like the opening monologue of the original Battlestar Galactica series. There are those who believe that life here began out there. And the thing is, it had to begin out there. Because, well, everything was in one place with the Big Bang. You, me, we're all, as Carl Sagan described it, star stuff. Now, you want to talk about humbling. That's humbling. Everything that's in you, everything that's in me, everything that you can see, touch, taste, feel, smell, everything. Elephants, the giraffes I already mentioned, animals that are no longer here, every forebear you ever had was present in atomic or subatomic form at the moment of the Big Bang. The solidity that we perceive of ourselves. You sit there and you poke your arm like I'm doing now and your finger doesn't go through it. But when you get down there far enough, there's space between every cell and every atom. And that's amazing. I'll take pondering the reality of that over pondering the viciousness of some Stone Age or Bronze Age imaginary deity any day of the week. Won't you? Yeah. We are now up to $30 on Robert's challenge. Thank you, Will. Thank you very kindly. Well, I have a sneaking suspicion that the servers are not going to be back for a while. So what I'm going to do is knock off for the evening. Maybe go and dance in the rain. Why not? You know, toward the end of his life, Kurt Vonnegut said, "I have come to the conclusion that we were put here mostly to dance." Dancing in the rain doesn't seem like a bad idea at all. So, we'll save a bunch of these morans for Titanic Tuesday, because the Titanic intellects of the right wing and the morans of the right wing are often mathematically identical. That being the case, we'll just pick up tomorrow with where we left off here. Maybe by then, the other $20 of Robert's up over down under challenge will have rolled in, which would be awfully nice. Like I said, we got a $500 bill that has to be paid on Wednesday, or else when I'm gone on Thursday and Friday, I'll also be gone on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You know, we'll just be gone. Frustrating. But it's the reality we've learned to live with. Cross your fingers. Stand on one leg. Put one arm out in the air and hold your tongue just right. And maybe everything will be working nicely come tomorrow. Okie doke. I hope so. So thanks, everybody, for this brief period of time and this truncated More in Monday edition of the Horn. Heck, I wasn't supposed to be here in the first place. But that was that family thing that's been postponed and pushed back to the end of this week. We'll talk soon, I hope. Y'all take care. Bye now.